The most probably important thing in the world is to know your father. I'm going to give you two scriptures. John 7, you can turn. I'm a KJV man. I'm the president, so it's in the KJV. John 17:3 and John 3:16. I think they're supposed to be putting them up there. Getting to know God and getting to know him better. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, this is everlasting life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You bow your heads. Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for a word. You're the Lord God. You give me the tongue of the learned to speak a word in season to them that are weary. I thank you that you open up my ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to me and to the church. So I just want to thank you, Lord God, that you have anointed me to speak a word in season. I want to give you getting to know God, and I'm going to give you a scripture that you may have never thought about, maybe you have overlooked, but the definition of eternal life. It is so important to God that he gave you, and they called it Zoe, the God kind of life, but it's eternal life. And I just want to give you two scriptures. I gave you those two scriptures. So this is life eternal, John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The most important thing in Christianity, God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross just for you, that you can have eternal life. But look what the definition of, look in your book, you got it too. Look what the definition of eternal life is. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God so loved you so much that he gave you his Spirit that you can know him. God wants you to know him. He wants you to know his Son. He wants you to know him so bad that he put himself on the inside of you. You know, for God so loved the world that you, and see, you probably never put that together. You've probably never put that together. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life, that you may know the one and only true God. God wants you to know him. And so it's so important. Now, tonight I just want to say for me as a Christian, I believe there's two main ways of knowing God. And I feel like they're so important that you would know him. And one is through the word of God, and one is through prayer. The Bible teaches you about the word of God, that through the word, in the beginning, John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. If you're going to know God, you're going to know his word. If you know his word, you'll know God. If you know it. Psalms 119:130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth life, but it giveth understanding unto the simple. God will open your understanding that you will understand him only and through and by his word. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to be free? This is what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, that means you're going to abide in it. You're going to live in it. You know, you may get tired of hearing pastors say, please get in the word of God. Constantly saying, get in the word, get in the word. But God died for you to know him. And the way you're going to know, one of the ways you're going to know him is through what his word is saying to you about you, what you are, what you can be, what God can do through you, through and only through his word. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall know the truth. No, he didn't say that. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. God has fixed it to where whatever you ask for, but now there is a stipulation. If, the big if you abide in me and my words, remember that, and my words, the words is so important, must abide in you, then you can ask anything that you will and it shall be done. And the last scripture I have for, no, it's not the last. John 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, the word sanctify means set apart. Set apart just for God. So if you're going to be set apart just for God, he says, sanctify through them truth. Thy word is truth. And the last one, because we're not going to really talk about the word. I'm just giving some scripture about the word. John 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Your mind is going to be renewed by the word of God to where you can think like God, talk like God, act like God, look like God. Everything you are. Be imitators of God as a child would imitate a parent. God wants you to imitate. He wants you to mimic him, to act just like. You may think that's a big deal, but you're his child. He's your father. But what I really wanted to talk to you about really tonight is about prayer. The two main things, I believe, with all my heart, for every Christian. I tell you what, when a Christian get weak, you know one of these are missing in their life. Either they're not reading, studying, listening to the word, or either their prayer life is a little shaky. Anytime, any Christian, I don't care who you are, that you get weak, and because see, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when you're not living by the word, and when you're not living by prayer, weak. Now, here's something I believe. I believe the enemy don't care how much word you know, long as you don't pray. Because prayer puts power behind the word. And so, and I can just say for myself, I was what you call a word man down through the years. I would read, I've told them this, I would read 8 hours a day. I know I'd take a little break, like a lunch break, and then go back to reading. 8 hours a day. What I did, though, I got a lot of head knowledge. I wanted to quote scriptures, and I could. I would talk to you in scriptures. I wanted to quote scriptures, but I didn't understand what I was. I could quote a bunch of scriptures, but I did not understand what those scriptures meant. I could quote them, but I didn't understand them. Then about 20 years ago, the Lord put me in prayer. One day I was at my house, and I was reading. The Lord said to me, go pray. You know what I told the Lord? Let me read one more chapter because I didn't want to pray. But the Lord, he let me see a revival. He let me, and I know you've probably heard me say this, but some of you have. He let me become a part of a revival. And I found out the common key to that revival was you had people that were praying. Every time you saw a revival, there were people praying. And so that revival impacted me so much that I wanted to see it not only for myself, but I wanted others to have it too. And so because of that, I read about revival. I just got so caught up in it. And I found out the common thread was prayer. And so I just want to thank God, by the grace of God, that he gave me, I actually believe he gave me the grace of prayer. And I love it. I love it with everything that's in me. I want to do it every day of my life. And as long as I can. Hallelujah. The area of knowing God tonight is through prayer. What is prayer? And I'm just going to give you a simple definition. Fellowshipping God and getting to know him personally, intimately, progressively, experientially. The Lord gave me that little, it's a little, what you call an acronym, P-I-P-E. If you're taking notes, you ought to write that down because it helps me remember it. This is what the Lord has shown me in the times of, since I've been spending time with the Lord in prayer. He's shown me this. I'm not talking about a book I read. I'm talking about what the Lord has shown me. What prayer is, I always thought prayer was asking God for this and asking God for that. And, you know, I was even praying for a revival. But the Lord straightened me up when it come down to pray, what prayer was about. Prayer is about getting to know him, getting to know him as a person, as my father, as my friend, as everything I could ever need, more so than anything else. And so here's what I've learned. I've learned to pray. Now, listen, when I say I've learned to pray, I'm not trying to act like I've arrived. I'm on my way, but I haven't arrived. I'm going to learn some more. Because I'm going after it. But what I have learned that as I pray, I get to fellowship with him in such a way. He started opening up my eyes to the scriptures that I never saw before. I mean, we talked about a long time ago, revelation knowledge. And I found out what revelation knowledge was. God would reveal to me what the word of God was saying. I thought I knew what it was saying. I had it in my head, but I didn't have it in my heart. Because when you get the word in your heart, you can live it. You can talk it. You start getting answers to prayers. Hallelujah. But fellowshipping with God to get to know him on a personal. I know when you first got saved, there was a personal relationship. But it's way beyond that first initiation of personal with God. God wants you to, he wants you to know him so personal. And if we're going to ever see, and Pastor talks about this all, a move of God, we're going to know God personally. Because we're going to know when God is in the house and when he's not in the house. We get to know him personally. We get to know him progressively. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a growth thing. I thank God what he's taught me. But you know what? I know there's more. I just know there's more. And I thank God I know there's more. And then we can know him intimately. Ooh. You all know about these intimate times with God. You don't need music. You don't need the band. Thank God for the band. Thank y'all. I love the band. But you don't need the band. You got Jesus. You got God. You got the Holy Spirit. You got everything you need. You can know him intimately in such a way that you never thought that you could ever, 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 ever know him. And you can know him by experience. Paul on the way to Damascus, he had an encounter with God. He experienced God in such a way that nobody could tell him that God wasn't real. Nobody could ever tell him that God wasn't real. And this is what has happened to so many people. A lot of people have shaken the hand of the preacher. I confess Jesus my Lord, but no experience. God wants you to know him in such a way that nobody can tell you that God is not real and that you're not saved. The devil will mess with you. Oh, you're not saved. You did this. You did that. But when you actually experience God, no matter what the devil say, get behind me, devil. I know I'm saved. Something happened to me. I'm on my way to heaven. God wants you to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again. Hallelujah. I thank God. And that's what John 17:3 says. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the one and only true God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Prayer is communication with God. And now, the other side of prayer is communicating with God. And I want to make this as simple as possible. And asking your Father for favors that you can't do. You can't answer one prayer. You can't cast out no devil. God through you cast out the devil. So see, that's the asking part of God. God, you know, that's the way he made prayer. First, he made it with a communication to where you can communicate him with him, to where you can know him, that he's real, that is true, and that's where faith comes. Because you know God, you can have faith in God. You don't know somebody, you can't trust them. I don't know you. How you gonna trust somebody you don't know? You can't. I mean, but see, God wants you to know him to the point that when you ask him for something, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in me, I'll give you everything you can even imagine. And some things you can't imagine. I'll give them to you because you trust me. So that's, to me, that's what prayer is all about. That there is a communication side and there is an asking side. And I tell you the truth, I've learned to spend more time in the communication side because I want to love him. I want to worship him. I want to praise him. I want to thank him. And see, he's even taught me about grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That nothing that I receive, I can boast about. You know, I'm taking this step. Grace. I'm opening my mouth. Grace. I'm saying words to you, hopefully, that they are anointed and breaking yokes and chains, but only by grace. See what I'm saying? When you get intimate with God, he'll show you some simple things that they're so simple, but they're so big. I remember one time I was over here praying, right over there. I don't remember exactly what I was praying. And my mind says, he's going to preach that today. And you know what? I came out here because that's when I was doing praise and worship. And lo and behold, pastor preached exactly what I was praying. And see, and that's the reason why, that's one of the reasons why I believe all my heart. Our pastor's a man of God, because there have been so many times I prayed stuff and pastor come right behind it and say the same thing. The Bible says there's two or three, you know, a witness and two or three witnesses. So I just thank God that I've learned why pray. Why do we pray? God said, according to his word in James, and this is the way he set it up, if you don't ask me, you can't get it. If you ask, you receive not because you ask not. Now, that's the other side of prayer. That's not the only side of prayer, but that's another side of prayer. But God set up the rules. He says, I know what you want before you ask me. I'm just telling you to ask me. Why? Because I want you to put your trust in me and not you. Because I can answer your prayers that you can't answer yourself. You know, we pray for a lot of people all the time. And you know what? That's kind of called, I call it intercession. But I don't like to call myself an intercessor. I used to think that was a big time word. Oh, he's an intercessor, you know. But since I've got into an intimate relationship with God, you know, and it's such an intimate relationship that in the midst of my intimacy, I pray for somebody. And that's intercession. You're standing in the stead of somebody else, that's intercession. But, you know, because people I'm an intercessor. I'm a bad man. I'm a prayer warrior. I don't like for you to call me prayer warrior. I just thank God that he graced me to want to pray. And I thank God for that. Because it's just been so good. And I try not to push it on people, but, you know, they ask me. So I'm pushing it today. They ask me to speak on prayer. And what we're going to do, we're going to pray. Well, what I want to do with you is, it may be something different, but I'm asking you to just get with me. You hear what I'm saying? Can y'all say, I'm going to get with you? That wasn't enough. Say it again. I'm going to get with you. Because what we're going to do, we're going to try with everything in our heart. The Bible said, on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. All 120 that was there were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. What was the key, though? They were all with one accord. So I want to tonight, I want you to get in your mind. We're going to get in one accord. Say that. We do it again. We're going to get in one accord tonight. Because what we're going to do, we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and then we're going to pray, okay? These are the scriptures I'm going to shout out to you guys, to the shepherd's house. That's what we're teaching them. We're teaching them pretty well this, teaching them about prayer. And I tell you what, don't ask them to pray for something. They're going to pray it, and they're going to get an answer. Why pray? It's because God said to ask him. Through prayer, men should always pray. Luke 18:1. Men should always pray and never faint, never quit, never give up, lose heart. And if this was important to God, it has to be important to the body of Christ. If Jesus had to go and spend time, sometimes all night long, praying, it must have been important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 6:4, right after the Holy Ghost came, 6:4, and then the first little confusion they had, you know, they was wanting the apostles to like to serve the widows that were being not taken care of. But he said, get you some men and put them over this. But what we're going to do, he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer was so important. This is the very beginning of the church. So I pray that we as a church go back and see what the beginning of the church, that's our model. Please understand what I'm saying. What these folks are doing now is not our model. Our model is the Bible. What did they do? They spent time in prayer. They hungered and thirsted for God for everything that he had. And when they did that, God came on the scene and lives were changed. The first day, 3,000 were saved. And some say the next time you hear it was 5,000. It was 5,000 was added or 2,000 was added to make up 5,000. And you know, it was the power of the Holy Ghost that had made all this happen because they were all with one accord, with one mind. And all they wanted was Jesus. All they got a touch. Ooh. They got a touch of the Holy Ghost. And it became so real to them, they were willing to die. That's our model. And I really want to get to that model. I'm after that. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And you say, how can I do that? You can have an attitude of prayer everywhere you go. You know, I just thank God that there are just some things I want to say but I don't want to say. And that may not make no sense to you. But, okay, we are an apostolic, charismatic, word of faith, full gospel, Pentecostal church. Word of faith. We believe in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So I better stop right there with that. But they were so excited about what they had. Their lives have been so changed. How many lives have actually really been changed? I mean, just with a show of hands. I mean, I've been changed. I'm so changed. Huh? I mean, I'm so excited. Now, I'm silly. I tell them all, I'm silly. I don't care. I'm silly. I'm excited. I'm an older guy. But you know, the Lord saved me at 21, and I still have that excitement about the number one thing I'm excited about, I'm saved. Man, I'm saved. I thank God for prosperity. I thank God for healing. But you know what I thank God most for? I'm saved. Man, I was on my way to hell. And I was on my way to hell. And I was going fast. And the Lord reached down and he saved me. And so because of that, I'm so excited. I'm excited about, how many of y'all excited? You're excited enough to just do a little jig every now and then. And Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. James 16b, this is a scripture that the Lord gave us when we first started praying. And this is the KJV. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I got my vice back there, so I got to use my KJV version. But I'm going to give you the amplified version of that. Oh, I wish y'all could put it up there. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayers of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The earnest, heartfelt, here's the word he gave us, continued. What happens a lot of times we get a little move of God and then we pray, sometimes we get a little discouraged and we quit. But that's not what he said. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayers of the righteous man makes tremendous power. Think about it. You've got the ability to make power available. I'm talking about the dunamis power, the all-consuming power of God through your prayers. You have the ability to make power. You got the ability to stop the devil in his track. You got the ability to say, leave that child alone. You've got that ability by the power of God. Makes tremendous power available, dynamic, and it's working. And so I believe in the continuous prayer of God. And I'm going to say it like this. I read a bunch of books. I have read a lot of books. I have read a lot. But I'm telling you what, the Lord took me further in the realm of prayer than all those books put together. He's shown me stuff about heaven. He's shown me stuff about life. He showed me that I can live so close to him. I can live in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I can live a supernatural life. I can know everything. I mean, he gave me the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost knows everything. He gave me an unction, which is an unction of the Spirit of God, that knows everything. I've got the ability on the inside of me to know everything. I'm not saying some things. Everything. And then he gave me anointing to teach me everything. I don't have to be dumb. I don't, I just can't do this. I can't do that. But he gave me the Holy Ghost to do it all. The Bible says I can do all things. Not because of me, but because of the grace of God. He gave me the Holy Spirit. He gave me this word. He gave me everything I need to make it in this life. To win. To win every time. Never lose. We lose because we want to lose, but we don't have to lose because God equipped us with everything we need. See, I didn't know that. I knew about that, but I didn't know that. So I just want to thank God.